We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel, and we got a lot to go through today, including some WNBA kind of end of season hirings and championship recaps, and then we are going to go back to school, although I have been in school for like 2 months now, but we are going to go back to American school and start college season women's basketball. Cal, you ready?
I've been ready for this one for so long. I love the WNBA, but college basketball season being right around the corner, I could not be more ready.
Yeah. So we will save the best for last for you with college season there. But we'll start with the WNBA, and our headline of the week this week is the Phoenix Mercury have hired a new head coach. Nate Tibbetts comes in with, interestingly enough, no women's basketball experience and is the highest paid coach in the WNBA with Becky Hammon behind, because as we know, she was previously the highest paid coach in the WNBA. I'm going to pull up this quote. If you're watching on YouTube, he said, "I know I'm going to need to rely on our team to learn how this league works. That's why I'm here." It's very interesting to hear from a coach who has come from the NBA and is now entering the WNBA. I'm curious, Cal, like what your thoughts are on that, because this seems like an issue that we might need to dive into a little bit.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on it. I probably have no thoughts that haven't already been said by other people already, but it's worth talking about on this podcast still. First off, it's just two episodes ago, we got done talking about Teresa Weatherspoon hire and how the league, you know, that represented sort of a move from a bunch of white guys to giving more opportunities to black women. And we had no black women as coaches just a few years ago, and we continue to get more. And then right on the heels of that, we have this, which just makes it feel that much worse. And like, to be clear, I have no idea. I don't know anything about Nate Tibbetts. I have no idea if he's going to be a good coach. I think the fact that I don't know anything about him is probably part of the problem. But that aside, like, it's entirely possible he ends up winning games. I'm not going to like sit here and say I have any idea how many games he's going to win. But to be the highest paid coach coming in with zero experience is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Above Becky Hammon, who just came in and won two championships. So I don't understand what we're doing here. And like, from the Mercury perspective, you know, they talk about like wanting to invest in this team now, the new owner, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, cool, you're putting money into it. But is this where you want to put the money? Like, is this the way to do it? I don't feel like it's it. And then obviously they get on social media and talk about, oh, he's a girl dad, so it's all good, you know?
Like, I still can't believe that.
Digging the hole even deeper. So I'm really not on board with it. I'll say that.
Yeah. I completely forgot about the girl dad thing until you brought it up. God, I like literally wiped that from my memory because it was so bad. But like, the way that I'm looking at this is like, sure, like you said, like the Mercury ownership is like trying to invest. They just invested like $100 million into a new facility, which I think, you know, all teams should be doing. But when it comes to the coaching hires, like you look at somebody like Becky Hammond, who was an assistant coach in the NBA for many, many years alongside Pop in San Antonio. And whenever she would get the odd interview for a head coaching job, it was always like, you don't have any experience as a head coach. You don't have any experience like to be hired, which is odd because then you bring someone in who's not familiar with the league that they are now the head coach of in Nate Tibbetts, because that's the part where I'm just like, so why does a woman have to be super duper qualified and have all these expectations met for them to even be considered for a job? Whereas like a man can just be like clueless. Like, and I know he's been like decently solid in the NBA. Like he was like an assistant coach with Portland for a while, and like other places, but I would really like to see the pool of candidates that they interviewed for this job. And I think maybe that's something that should be standard going forward. Like just, okay, who did you actually talk to for this job and who did you actually take seriously? Because a lot of the times, even when Becky Hammond's name was being mentioned for NBA head coaching jobs, it kind of just felt like a token. Like they were just throwing her name out there just to be like, well, at least we interviewed her. But I also think just like not knowing at all who the Phoenix Mercury interviewed and just kind of having this random, like, why wasn't Nikki Blue considered after taking over in the second half of the season? Like all of these little factors where I'm just like, it doesn't make sense. And we'll see how he does as a coach. Like you said, like, I'm sure he's probably not going to be bad, but I just think that like going out and saying, I am relying on the team to teach me how the league works is a very odd thing to say.
Yeah. And the problem is that not, like he doesn't have any experience in this league, like you said. And it's not like he has a whole host of really relevant experience in the NBA either. Obviously, he has a lot of assistant coaching experience, but we're not talking about like Greg Popovich, who's been like a legendary head coach for a long time and just happens to have only coached men. Like, we're talking about someone who's never been a head coach of men either. Like there's just no experience on either side to point to here for why he would even get hired in the first place, but especially why he would be paid higher than the 11 other coaches who have all sorts of experience in this league and who clearly have worked their way up to deserving more than that. So it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I think like, just to kind of wrap up this conversation, like I think what we would probably really like to see moving forward is a lot more transparency. That seems to be the common theme with this league so far this year, at least like recently. Just more transparency with like who is being considered and what the process is like. Just like more of like what's going on behind the scenes, because some of these decisions are kind of questionable is what I'll call it. But okay. Let's move on to our last piece of WNBA news before we head to college. The Las Vegas Aces have repeated as champions, the first back-to-back champions since 2002, since my birth year, for those of you wondering. yeah, so that's kind of cool. We recorded like right before their win, so we haven't really had a chance to kind of decompress and just kind of parse through the really crazy ending to game four. Liberty lost by 1 point. The Aces were down 2 starters, defended the hell out of the Liberty to close that game out. And before we get to the actual game talk, let's talk about the parade a bit, because I know there were a lot of expectations of what the Aces parade was going to be like, how it was going to stack up to the one last year. And I think they pretty much surpassed all of those expectations. They look like they were having a blast. Like Jackie Young is just tweeting again, which I find like absolutely hilarious. It's just like, Like, she to me is like the equivalent of like OG Anunoby on the Raptors, where I'm like, I wish OG would tweet like that. Like, I wish that we would have something to go crazy over. Such like a quiet player who's actually just so good. But yeah, like Kelsey Plum was recreating her cigar pictures. Like, also shout out B Terrell for like cooking for the Aces. I know Kirsten Bell was enjoying that very much, just based on the pictures and the tweets and everything. But yeah, like what were your thoughts on just kind of like them, the way that the Aces just are so dominant and locked in during the season, and then just how they let loose once they celebrate?
Yeah, the vibes could not be higher. I mean, in terms of the celebration and the parade, like, I will say this, in any sport, any level, from, you know, youth to pro, men's, women's, doesn't matter. If you win a championship, you should absolutely milk it for all it's worth. And no one gets to tell you what to do, how hard you can celebrate. You just get to absolutely let loose and have the time of your life. And that's what we see the Aces doing. So I'm all about it. And it's so impressive to me that they can be so connected. It's really, I think, when you watch their celebrations and how much fun they're having, it's not completely separate from how good they are at basketball, because you see the connectedness in kind of the team chemistry, that camaraderie that they have showing up on display there, that is why they're so good on the court too, and why what you've talked about on this pod before, Asia catches everything from Chelsea, no matter where that pass is, or why their defense is so connected, like we saw in game four. It's all one and the same. It's all that chemistry. And that's like really the story of this team, and I think going to be the story of this era of Aces basketball when we look back at it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was really cool. I think they said, I don't even know how much they're going to be fined for just the amount of swearing on TV. But I saw like a screenshot of Becky like counting money at one point. So maybe that was the money that she had saved for the fines. I don't know where that money came from. Maybe Mark Davis like accounted for it in the budget and whatever. But no, it was really cool to see them let loose. It was really cool to see Becky let loose too. I think like actually, even let's talk about that before the game four recap. Like, she had a quote that kind of really stuck out to me at the parade, where first she called herself very old, which like, come on, Becky, like you're not that old yet. But she basically was just like, I've played with a lot of goats in my playing career. But then she points at Asia and she's like, but this one right here is going to be the goat of the goats. And I find that sentence, first of all, like extremely cool coming from someone like Becky Hammon to Asia Wilson. Like, that's a lot of respect, a lot of like pride there too, as being her coach. But I think like it's a pretty valid sentence. I mean, like, you look at what Asia has already stacked up in her career, the amount of accolades, like, and I know it's not always about accolades, but she has accomplished so much already. And like, when you look at someone like Candace Parker, who dominates like the history record books, like that could very much well like be Asia. And then also just how dominant she is as a player herself, like I could very much see Asia Wilson being looked at as the greatest of all time.
It's a really interesting discussion, because in the WNBA there are a few different people who, you know, people will point to as the GOAT. You don't have, like, when you look at the NBA, basically everyone is going to say Michael Jordan, LeBron James. There's this debate. Yeah. But in the WNBA, you have a lot more than two who people can kind of throw into that conversation. But I 100% agree. By the time Asia Wilson's career is over, there's not going to be a conversation anymore. It's going to be her. And it's really not going to be up for debate. If she continues on the trajectory that she's on, which I don't know why she wouldn't, it's going to be pretty head and shoulders above anyone else in terms of her career. To me, the thought that I've been having that might be, you can pull the reins in a little bit if you think I'm too crazy on this, is if Asia Wilson just decided to go Maya Moore and just retire right now, which we know is not going to happen, would she already be the GOAT? And okay, I get it. She's 27. Maybe I need to pump the brakes. It's really hard to call someone who's 27 the GOAT. I'm not even sure if I believe this. It's just a thought that crossed my mind. I might have to be talked in or out of it, but I thought it was worth bringing up because when you look at some of the people in the GOAT conversation in this league, for different reasons, some of them haven't really had that full kind of longevity of a career. Like we talk about Maya Moore, and then you look at like Cynthia Cooper, who, no fault of her own, the league didn't exist until she was in her mid-30s. Who knows what her career would have looked like if she got to start at 22 or whatever it was. But and this might just be me being not as old as Becky and being disrespectful to some of our all-time greats, obviously, in this league. I know Tamika Catchings is obviously someone who did have a very long full career. We probably put her up there. So like I said, I don't know if I actually believe this, but I just think when you stack up, like you said, on paper, which is more about on paper, but Asia Wilson's list of accolades already, it's already on par with some of these people who we have in this conversation. How many people actually have won multiple Defensive Player of the Years, multiple MVPs, multiple rings? Like, that list is already really, really short. And if she didn't add to it ever, which we know she's going to, I still think she's already sort of at least entering that tier.
I like that. I like that. And I think it's really cool too, because like, she still has so much to go. Like, I think that's the really exciting part about it. I'm really excited to see like what she continues to blossom into. But yeah, no, it's a really cool conversation, and like really cool that like it's in our generation that we get to witness this greatness, because you don't like you said, like it's a short list. Like you don't really get to experience like greatness like that all the time. So no, it's extremely special what Asia Wilson is, who she is as a player, as a person. The goat of the goats. I like that sentence. Okay, let's recap game four and just kind of this like historic season for the Aces. Do you remember, Cal, when I texted you and I was like, this is the perfect trap game for the Liberty? Yep. I'm actually nervous. Yep. Well, it was the trappest of the trap games. I mean, losing 69-70, Aces were down two starters. I think the way that I kind of looked at it, and like I'll get to you in a second, but like the way that I kind of looked at it was like, yes, the Aces are down two starters, but this is still a team that has Asia Wilson on it. Like, this is still a team that has Jackie Young, that has Kelsey Plum. Like, it, that to me was just like, it's, we're acting as if everybody on the team is not playing anymore. And also, I just feel like the Liberty at times have maybe not shown up in certain moments, and I was afraid that like that was gonna pop up again, and then it kind of happened. So Cal, like, what were your thoughts on game four, on the trappiest of trap games, or whatever I just called it?
Yeah, I think it just adds to the legacy of this Aces, what's becoming a dynasty, I'll throw that word out there, and Asia's legacy, because this would have been very, very, very easy for the Aces to say, we're going to win this at home in game five, especially when they got down 12 points. And obviously they have no bench. Bench has been essentially eliminated in terms of injuries. Would have been very easy to say, we're going to fold up shop. We're going to try to win this at home. We don't have the personnel healthy to make up this 12-point gap and really make this push late in the game. But they were like, no, F that. Like, we're winning this right now. And that, to me, just epitomizes this team's mentality and who they are. Like, they, I think I said a few shows ago, like, they play every game like they're down 0-2. And when they're up 2-0, they play like they're down 2-0. And that is exactly what we saw, particularly in the second half of this game. So to me, that's just going to be something that we look back at as like a huge moment in the Aces story.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, we've been talking about Asia Wilson for this podcast, and, you know, 24-16, like that kind of tells the story right there. And you know what, like, for as much as we talked about their bench being depleted, like, I think they really showed out. Like, Kayla George did well. Sydney Colson was hooping. Like, guys, come on. Like, we need to actually acknowledge this. And you know what? Like, at the end of the day, they showed up, they won their championship, and they went back to back. So I'm, like I said, like last week, I'm very curious to see what happens in the Liberty offseason. And I think, like, I think shout out to Nekias Duncan. I think he's the one that kind of mentioned that the Aces have space to sign a max player. So very interested to see what happens there. But, and to see what happens with Candace, because I know she went on the ESPN Women's Hoops Summit and kind of was just like, if I play two more years, I'll be happy. And if I don't touch a basketball ever again, I'll be okay. So not really sure what that means for Candace Parker's future, but we'll see what happens in the offseason here. But yeah, the Las Vegas Aces are your 2023 WNBA champions. The parade never stopped in the last year.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, cool. Let's go back to school now. I know, Cal, you're so, look at you. You're so excited.
So excited for this.
The first thing that I want to hit on is you went to a media day this week. So tell us about that. I'm going to show the people on YouTube. So if you're listening to the podcast, make sure you also check us out on YouTube, because these are exclusive pictures that you don't want to miss of Cal at the Missouri Valley Media Day. So how was it? Look how fun this is.
Oh, it was a great time. Yeah, I'm. They gave me some free gear, so I just threw this polo on for this podcast because they sent me, or you know, they hooked me up. They gave me like this whole duffel bag. It wasn't like two shirts. It was like this entire duffel bag full of shirts. So shout out to Ryan Davis for that.
So what you're saying is you're so big time that teams are just giving you stuff.
The league gave me this stuff.
Okay.
And it was Ryan Davis. So if Ryan listens to this, Ryan, thank you for this basketball. It's kind of cut off, but that you can, it says you can't see it on YouTube. It says Valley on it. Anyway, thank you for all the stuff. Thank you to the Missouri Valley for having me. It was so much fun. We just got to know the players, you know, their personalities. Like, so many of these players, I feel like there's a lot of untapped potential here in this league and in this sport for social media content, because there are some really fun players, some energetic players, players that just have incredible vibes that I think, you know, we need to get the fans kind of in on this. So I really enjoyed it. And to connect it back to the Aces, kind of to come full circle here. So one of the things I really loved is that one of the things we talked to the players about was who they would compare some of their teammates' games to. And so many of them brought up current WNBA players, especially on the Liberty and the Aces that we just saw in the finals.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
At least I think three Asia Wilsons, a couple Sydney Colsons. So I'm glad you brought
and
up Sydney Colson.
And a pear tree. I'm sorry.
That's a social media clip, Cree. Put that out later.
Yeah.
We had the league's, in my opinion, best defensive guard get compared by her coach to Sydney Colson, which I thought was great because of you look at what Sydney Colson did defensively on Sabrina in game four. That's what Q Love in this league does to everybody. So I loved to see all these names from the W, this connection with college and in the W sort of come out, especially, you know, this is a league, this is a mid-major league where it's one of the best mid-major leagues in the country, no doubt. But this isn't a league where you have like 10, 15 WNBA players, like maybe in the Big Ten or something like that. So to see these players really starting to like connect with the W, I think is really cool. But yeah, I had a great time getting to know them. And I couldn't talk highly enough about this league.
And what kind of expectations do you have for them this year? Who are you kind of watching for with the three Asia Wilsons and the couple of Sydney Colsons?
Yeah, I'm always watching Illinois State. Everybody knows that. Definitely watching UNI. Picked first Northern Iowa for the first time in program history, which is weird because they've been really good forever. But they're just always second, third, fourth for some reason. So Maya McDermott, I have to shout her out too, point guard for Northern Iowa. She was already just like one of my favorite players to watch on the court. And then getting to know her yesterday, just an amazing person. So nice, so funny, incredible to talk to. So easy to root for Maya McDermott. If anyone, and by the way, Northern Iowa, well, all the Iowa schools always play each other. So I know we're going to get to Iowa in a little bit and talk about Caitlin Clark. Northern Iowa plays Iowa on, I believe it's November 12th, sold out. It's at Northern Iowa. They're sold out for the first time in program history. Very easy to see why that is. So for our casual fans who kind of only tune into Caitlin Clark and the big names, tune into that one and watch Maya McDermott also. I think that is going to be a good bet. And by the way, like these games are usually close. As good as Iowa is, like Northern Iowa a couple years ago in this matchup against Iowa and Caitlin Clark had a shot to beat them at the buzzer. It missed. They lost by one or two, but they were right there. So this is not necessarily going to be a blowout just because you're talking about Iowa versus a mid-major. I'm just going to plug everyone to watch that game. Watch Maya McDermott and obviously watch Caitlin Clark too, who we'll talk about. But that's someone I'm keeping my eye on.
I like it. I like it. Okay, so speaking of Caitlin Clark in Iowa, we figured the best way to kind of start our college season preview is to recap what happened in the March Madness final this year, last season. It's the same year. It's a lot of confusing terminology. But LSU versus Iowa. LSU obviously were the champions last year. They're now the number one ranked team in the country, according to the AP rankings. So let's talk about LSU first, because my goodness, what a team, what a year it has been for this team. I mean, you talk about the star of the team, Angel Reese, like just her breakout with, I think, not only the on-court stuff, but also the NIL deals. I think that's huge. Like to get that kind of attention and just support as a student athlete, like now people know who she is. Like she is influencing. And I think that's so important just for the growth of the game. And I just find that stuff to be like so cool, especially on the women's side. Like something like I come from a tennis background, so I notice the stuff that tennis players do when it comes to like shoe deals and other brand deals. So for example, like New Balance does a really great job with Coco Gauff, in my opinion. And I know there's been kind of some requests for them to go into the women's hoops atmosphere and just kind of be a little bit better there. And so when I see like players like Angel Reese being able to get like deals like that, it's like it's super cool. But yeah, like what are your expectations for her leading this team? Because there are also some maybe there's like a new name on this team too now, which we'll get to in a second too.
Yeah. There's a couple real quick. You mentioned Coco Gauff, New Balances though. Those pictures that you put up for me on Media Day yesterday, can you put those up again?
Yes,
put
I
up
can.
One of them with my shoes in there. Make sure. Hold
oh,
on.
Oh yeah.
The other one has my shoes, right? Oh no, that one has my shoes. There
they
you go.
Both do, yeah.
These are the Coco Gauff New Balances that Cree was just talking about. So
shout those red ones.
So shout out to those to New Balance for that. But you're talking about Angel Reese in the thank you. I love those. I wore them on purpose because I feel those are my favorite pair of shoes in the world. And you know, you're talking about Angel Reese in the shoe game and all the deals. She just signed with Reebok recently, which is another one that's sort of expanding into the women's basketball space now. And obviously everyone usually signs with Nike or Adidas. So this is kind of a huge deal for them. And yeah, you're right. It's like amazing for this sport to have someone like this. And Caitlin Clark, who we're going to talk about, these are the two most recognizable names in the sport, I think, by far. And the you know, they played each other in the national championship, and now they have sky high expectations coming in this year. In terms of LSU, it's a different situation than Iowa, because LSU, like you said, added some pieces too around Angel Reese. They bring in Anissa Morrow from DePaul, bring in Haley Van Lith from Louisville. So this team on paper, just pure talent wise, is stacked after coming off. It's not often that you see a national champion get that much better on paper after already being so good, but they really did. So now the question is, how does it play out on the court? Mm-hmm. It's obviously amazing on paper. Are they going to gel right away? Are, you know, there's maybe some shooting questions, although that's in college, as we've seen with South Carolina, sometimes you can get away with not having shooters all over the place, which is maybe different than in the WNBA, where you see the Liberty and the Aces, who always have shooters around. Those are the teams that succeed. So, but LSU is probably not going to be an elite shooting team, so that'll have some question marks. But they're going to be an elite defensive team. They're going to be an elite rebounding team for sure. No one's going to be able to stop them in the post. So this is definitely the favorite. They're AP number one for a reason. They should be number one on any sort of preseason list, and definitely excited to watch them play.
Yeah, and I'm also excited to see how Flauje's rapping career continues to develop, especially now with these new additions too. Like, I'm sure she'll find a way to incorporate them into some of the fun stuff. But yeah, like, even just any thoughts on like Haley Van Lith's addition to this team? Because like, I don't know about you, but this was not the destination I had expected her to land in when she announced that she was going into the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a great fit, just because when you add a dynamic guard like that next to Angel Reese, it really like allows you, it puts the defense in a tough spot in terms of how they guard pick and roll action and how they defend certain things. So she's going to, and also just when it comes to personalities, like these are two of the more, I want to make sure I use the right word, because I have a very positive view of it. And I want to make sure I don't use a word that is misconstrued negatively, but more energizing, I think, vibrant players on the court in terms of trash talk, in terms of all that stuff that unfairly gets viewed negatively sometimes in the women's game, but definitely I think is a really cool part of the game that they should embrace. I think these two players are sort of at the top of the list when it comes to all of that type of thing. So it's going to be really fun to watch them kind of play off each other in that regard too.
Yeah, you're right. That's cool. Like, I think about it as like, it's a very extroverted way. Whereas like, if I were ever to be a basketball player, I would not be that extroverted. I'd be very like, maybe more like Jackie Young style, where I'm just like the silent assassin, although I wouldn't be an assassin because I wouldn't be a good basketball player. However, let's talk about another good basketball player. And her name is Caitlin Clark. I kind of, when I was writing my notes for this, I kind of took the Shakespeare route and like the to be or not to be, to take a fifth year, to not take a fifth year, that is the question. This conversation has kind of maybe spanned college talks for a while now, with the COVID year being a rule. Now that we also have WNBA expansion announced, I'm very interested to see like what route college players start to take. But yeah, just like expectations for Caitlin Clark this year, what we maybe expect from her to do with Iowa, but also like the eventual professional league with the W as well.
Yeah, the COVID year thing is interesting. So Caitlin Clark is in the last class that gets that COVID year, and after her that won't be a thing anymore. So I think WNBA GMs are probably really looking forward to when that is over and they can sort of plan a little bit better. You still have some players who, depending on when their birthday is, you don't know when they're going to come out, but it's going to get a little bit easier on them after that. I don't know what she's going to do, to be honest, but when it comes to this year on Iowa, it's definitely a different situation, like I alluded to with than LSU, because Iowa didn't bring anyone in really notable from the transfer portal. Their team, they lost two starters, and they're just replacing them with bench players. It kind of the same team, just going down the dominoes of the roster a little bit. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how those two new starters, which are Addison, at least if they go with what they did in that exhibition, which, by the way, did you see that against DePaul, how they had 55,000?
It was so cool. That was,
yeah. Great for the sport. So in that game, they started Hannah Stolke and Addison O'Grady as their two new starters, which I think at least one of those could have a breakout year. Addison O'Grady had, I think it was like 14 rebounds in 19 minutes or something. So definitely they can step up and bring something. But like I said, didn't add any pieces. So it'll be interesting to see how that team steps forward too after making the national championship game. They're third in the AP poll. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't shock me to see them take a little bit of a step back, honestly, and be more of like a Elite Eight team versus national championship type of a team, more of like a 5-10 type of a range. But again, when you have Caitlin Clark on the floor, your ceiling is always number one. At any moment, Caitlin Clark can go off for 40. She can beat a historically good undefeated team, as we saw last year in South Carolina, and she can lift you to any heights you want to go to. So that's really the story for Iowa.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting for college teams, like coming off of either a championship or coming off of, you know, being in the final or really successful year. And then you lose some of those veterans and you have like your whatever third year is now fourth year is that they are taking more of a leadership role. But then you're also just kind of trying to piece together how the rest of the roster works. So, yeah, I'll be interested as well to watch her. Going to do my best being a Canadian to catch some college ball this season, but I got games in my calendar, and we'll get into it all within the next week or so on Coast to Coast. Anything else you want to kind of end the show with as we get closer to college season?
Yeah, just tune into the games. Just college season, you know, with WNBA. Like if we got WNBA listeners who haven't really gotten into the college game yet, you're used to like two games a day, some days three or four. In college, you literally have days with over 100 games. So just pick one. Just pick one and watch it. It's very easy. Maybe not if you're in Canada, but if you're in the United States and you have the right services and things like that, there's going to be a game for you. Just find one and watch.
We Canadians have our way too, finding games. So it'll happen. We'll make it happen. But yeah, really exciting. College season is right around the corner. WNBA season is over. It's really nice to kind of just get into a flow of like going from basketball to basketball. Like I love that the W season is longer now. And I hope that it just continues to get even longer, but Her Hoop Stats will be providing college coverage throughout the entire season. So make sure you are following us on social media, sub to our YouTube, our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find myself at Krina MM. You can find Calvin at C Wetzel 31, and we will see you on Coast to Coast next Wednesday.